a very COVID Christmas.
Cue vintage Christmas music. We are in the heart of London. A sprinkle of snow lightly covers the streets. Twinkle lights adorn the windows. Fireplaces are set ablaze. We are about to embark on a most festive adventure. The year is...
Dodgy wanker! Piss off me stoop, you bloody knob!
The year is COVID. We narrow in on a young girl, or what we are contractually obligated to refer to as a young girl, for she is really 33. You see, the age where one can begin to feel the dying off of the ovaries, and...
Hey!
Well, and yet they still maintain a youthful brilliance that occasionally has them mistaken for a schoolgirl.
Hmm, much better.
In the dark by a drunk.
All right, can we just continue, please?
As you wish. We narrow in on Emily. A spry, young-ish thing perched in the picture window of a cozy flat, finding herself alone and far from home this Christmas Eve night.
Sigh.
She sighs.
There's not even anyone to watch outside.
She grabs her mug of hot cocoa, curiously strong from the, quote, pinchy pinch of vodka she plunged into its depths, and moves to turn on the TV, an ancient relic left behind from a previous tenant. A man she likes to think with a grandfatherly way about him who probably had his favorite chair, a few good books, and no need for modern technology. Or why else keep this heaping pile of garbage?
Come on, ye old dinosaur.
She coaxes it with a few light slams.
There we go.
The news channel begins to come into focus, grainy and in black and white. The local news anchor is heard.
With the UK on lockdown, thousands of people are unable to travel across borders for the holidays. What's worse, the strict stay-at-home order prohibits celebrations outside of the household. This is grim news for residents of London who live alone tonight.
So much for my dream year abroad!
Especially for single American girls who flocked here to see their Love Actually fantasies realized.
Yes!
Especially for Emily.
What?
Just kidding.
She turns off the screen with a flourish, but the static from the old machine rustles and pops, sending a shock up her arm and dropping her to the floor. For a moment, nothing. More nothing. And nothing still. Well, it seems we've reached a premature end to our little story.
Oh, bollocks.
Never mind. We're okay.
That freaking hurt.
She rubs her head where it smacked against the floorboards.
I bet it did, Missy. You went down faster than a hooker with a bad habit.
She whips around, a shard of broken mug poised in one hand, her only pathetic defense.
Who the heck are you?
I'm William. Jolly good.
He tips his hat.
How did you get in here? Gasp!
She gasps.
You could be infected. You could have the virus, and you're exposing me, and if I get sick, I have no one here to care for me. I mean, not really. Maybe a neighbor or two would drop off soup, but if I die, literally no one will know, and I will rot in this flat all by myself until the rats come for my innards!
She pulls a pillowcase over her head.
Get away! Take what you want and leave! It'll take me hours to sanitize the air!
She rather awkwardly feels her way to the window and lifts it open.
Of what do you speak?
What do you mean, of what do I speak? The coronavirus?
There is silence. Emily peeks out from under the safe haven of her pillow protector.
Corona? COVID-19? The dirty Rona? Where have you been, man?
I'm not entirely sure, but in the ethers, I presume.
Okay, I'm not sure what province that is, but okay, what are your current case numbers like?
I don't follow, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm afraid too, bucko. You're really throwing me for a loop here.
So I gather you did not extend an invitation.
To get drunk with me on Christmas Eve? No. Might be sad, but I'm not desperate.
She was desperate.
Not that desperate!
Curious, if you didn't conjure me, then I wonder how it is that I came to be here this evening.
Wait. What do you mean conjure?
Well, I assumed that was how I came back. I lived here for many years, you see.
Oh, and you moved? I can understand that. The shower pressure doesn't exactly spark joy.
Moved on. I died here in my sleep in 1987.
Say what?
Moments later, William and Emily are seated at opposite ends of the couch, Emily keeping close watch on William out of the corner of her eye. She looks as if she's seen a ghost. Oh, look at me. I made it funny.
So, what you're telling me...
She reaches for the right words.
Is that you are super dead.
And misses.
Like dead. I'm like talking to a dead person.
Ever so tactful.
Correct.
Does this make me certifiably insane?
I should think we may both belong in the loony bin.
He removes his spectacles and cleans the lenses with the end of his sweater. Observing this, Emily grows agitated by his calm demeanor.
Yet what is with you, Brits? I mean, the world could be ending outside, and you'd still put on a pot of tea and read the morning paper.
There is no stopping the inevitable, my dear. At my age, you learn that to fight with what is a terrible waste of spirit. To savor the small joys of life, that is to truly live.
Well, thank you, Oprah. I sure hope this great insight comes with a year's supply of striped pajama sets.
Smart girl, I do wish I understood more of your blabbering.
This is ridiculous. I obviously just hit my head so hard that now I'm hallucinating and I probably need medical attention. Yes! Yes, that's it!
She grows excited at the prospect of a cranial concussion, for at least it would explain the old geezer staring at her from across the sofa bed.
I'll just call 999 for an ambulance. I probably have brain bleeding!
Bit too much enthusiasm there.
Okay.
We hear three beeps and then an out-of-service sound.
We're sorry. Your number could not be completed as dialed. Please hang up and do not call again.
That's weird. Maybe the storm took down the power lines to the call center. I'll just try my mom.
William watches patiently. We hear two beeps, then a ring.
Yay!
Then a dial tone.
I'm sorry. I thought I told you not to call again.
What?
This number is no longer in service. Goodbye.
You've got to be kidding.
I was afraid of this.
What? You know what's going on?
I had a hunch. It seems we have transcended the physical world and found ourselves in a most perplexing plot.
English, please.
We have landed in the in-between.
Emily is now lying on the floor, staring at the ceiling in stoic surrender. William sits over her in a stuffed chair by the fire, engrossed in a battle with an old candy cane, which he struggles to unwrap.
It's over.
Hmm?
It's over.
What?
It's over!
Well, I won't give up that easy. I haven't had sugar in 33 years.
He doubles down on his efforts to uncover the sweet nectar of his Christmas candy.
My life, not your impending insulin surge, William. Gosh dang it, of all the people I could be stuck with for eternity, you can't even hear half of what I say.
Oh, I hear enough. Comes and goes, thankfully.
Great. Well, I'll be sure to...
She is stopped short by the incessant crinkling of William's unruly candy paper.
I said I'll be sure to... William, do you mind?
What's that now?
Would you give me this?
She snags the candy cane from his grasp, freeing it from its plastic encasing in one swift movement.
Extraordinary!
You'd think 33 years would be long enough to kill sugar cravings. Wait.
She ponders.
33? That's my age.
Yes, the narrator said that earlier.
Ugh, he's the worst.
Rather nosy bloke.
I beg your pardon.
Denied, sir!
William... Do you think it's odd that I was born the year you passed away, and that we both lived in the same flat, and now we're stuck in that flat together in this upside down?
The in-between, dear, not the upside down. This isn't Stranger Things.
You get Netflix in the great beyond?
If we were well behaved on Earth.
No kidding. I better clean up my act.
While it's a bit odd, I suppose it would only be of real significance if such events were to occur, say, on the same day in 1987, the likelihood of which is preposterous.
Emily fixes her gaze on William. The narrator continues begrudgingly.
Was it December 24th?
Oh dear. It appears we have a problem, Sir Houston.
That's not the... You know what? Never mind.
And so our friends have pieced together some vital information. But will it be enough to find their way out from under... outwards from inside of the... The in-betwixt?
Huh?
Good God, man.
Stay tuned for more after this commercial break.
What's that?
It appears we haven't got any sponsors at this time. On we go! Moments later, our unlikely pair is still stupefied at their recent findings, though one is absorbing the news better than the other.
I suppose a happy birthday is in order. What festivities have been planned?
None, William.
She wraps herself in a fuzzy blanket and plops herself on the couch in defeat.
I'm not allowed to see people because of this stupid virus. My family wanted to FaceTime, but I just told them I'd be asleep.
Why is that?
Because they'll just make me feel guilty about moving away.
Will they? Or will seeing them just make you miss them?
Emily furrows her brow, seemingly deep in thought. Though one can never be sure with our heroine, she could just as well be recalling an online shoe sale.
You know, this is all starting to seem very A Christmas Carol adjacent. That just doesn't make any sense.
She rises and begins to pace back and forth.
Why is that, exactly?
Because between the two of us, I don't think I'm the obvious choice for Ebenezer Scrooge, William. I barely have any fine lines, for God's sake. And I freaking love Christmas!
Oh my! A millennial!
He braces himself on the arms of the old recliner.
Excuse me?
I've heard rumblings of you, but didn't recognize the dragon until it was spewing hot fire into my face.
What?
He rises. It takes a moment.
I passed before your generation came to fruition, but have feared the story's newer spirits relayed around proverbial campfire. Tales of self-obsession, of greed, and such confusing sayings on t-shirts as, "Ew, David."
Oh my God, I love David. He's my favorite.
Will you not hear me? Will you not listen?
A moment of unease passes.
Yes? I'm all ears, but you just, like, stopped talking.
I lost my train of thought one moment. Tales of self-obsessions, of greed, of, oh yes, you have forgotten that the meaning of life reaches far beyond ourselves. That riches and glory lie not in the putting off of frown lines, which are quite inevitable, by the way, but in the lives you touch, in the hearts you hold, in the people you love.
That was amazing.
Thank you. I have been practicing it for years in preparation for this exact opportunity.
Well, it seemed spot on. I think you nailed it.
Did I? Goodness, thank you. I was so nervous.
Oh, totally. Consider me blown away.
Oh, jolly good.
Pleased with himself, the old man straightens his little cap atop his head.
So then you understand?
Mm-hmm. Understand what?
Why I am here, of course.
Oh, no. No, I've lost the plot, I'm afraid.
Bugger.
Miffed, he takes a moment to collect himself before looking back to the wide-eyed girl standing before him. She appears genuinely perplexed.
I'm here to teach you how to live.
What? How exactly are you going to do that?
Well, I suppose we start by taking a step outside.
There's slushy stuff out there.
That's the best part about the spirit world.
He smiles, suspending the moment for dramatic effect.
Nothing can get on your shoes.
He holds out his hand. Emily smiles as she lets her blanket fall to the ground.
She reaches back to him and grows confused as her hand repeatedly passes through his.
Oh, yes, and you don't exist, so you can't actually touch anyone, which seems perfect for this pandemic you speak of. Yes, on we go!
The front door to the flat bursts open, a cascade of moonlight and snowflakes and sounds of a church choir billow into the entryway as our friends take their first steps into the unknown. Sorry, it seems the use of that phrase in conjunction with imaginary snow breaches Frozen 2's intellectual property. Fascists. As our friends take their first steps into the unknown. Sorry, there's no other way to say that.